Welcome into the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. I am Chase Goodbread, the sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, joined by, of course, Travis Ryer, the owner and proprietor of said YouTube channel, Ryer on YouTube. Give it a like and a subscribe. Check it out. Lots of super content there all the time. The Talking Tide podcast, of course, will recap the NFL draft as it pertained to Alabama draft prospects here in this episode. And we'll finish up maybe looking ahead a little bit to next year's NFL draft. Mention a couple guys who might be in line to get picked out of Tuscaloosa in 2026. But we bring in Travis to begin talking about 2025. Travis, Alabama with two first-round picks in this one, seven draft picks overall. Your thoughts on how things kind of unfolded for the Alabama contingent?
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in getting into with you on this Monday evening. And by the way, we are live here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Certainly encourage you to jump into those comments and into those chatter. Get into the chat if you'd like to do so. And by the way, there's our guy right now. Tex Tider checking in there. Good bread. Rick Morrison checking in from China Grove. Man, yeah, that's
Doobie Brothers.
Doobie Brothers right there. Whoa, China Grove.
That's right.
Rick, how about that? Appreciate you guys doing that. Everyone tuning in tonight live here on the channel. I don't know. I wasn't, I guess, all that surprised by how it kind of laid out. I don't know if you were. I thought the guys that we had heard the most about in relation to the first round went in the first round. Maybe Jahad Campbell going as late in the first round, a little bit surprising. I thought Booker went about when I thought he would go. I didn't know if he would go to Dallas. I actually, here on the channel, on No Sleep Teal, I had projected him to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I thought the Jags would maybe trade back to the mid-teens and then address another one of those needs that they have, which I still think they have maybe in that interior offensive line. I thought that might be a good spot for him. Instead, the Jags, of course, actually trade up to go get Travis Hunter out of Colorado. But what about you? I mean, I guess Jalen Milroe, he was a very intriguing case study in all this because he was invited to the draft, and a lot of people take that as almost a first-round guarantee. We've learned in the past that that isn't necessarily what that means.
Right.
But he does eventually go third round to the Seahawks. So for me, not a ton of surprises. I know there's this narrative out there about, wow, just seven picks, you know, just seven picks this time around. I can see that, but I can also see it from the perspective of you had some good news from that, right? It kind of also says how many guys you've got coming back for 2025.
It does. And I'll agree with you on Campbell. And of course, with the NFL, one thing we know about the draft is it gets less predictable as it goes on. It's the least predictable at the end. Right. It's the most predictable at the beginning, and even at the beginning, it's unpredictable, right? So it's a big crapshoot. I definitely thought Jahad Campbell would go sooner than he did. There were concerns about whether he'd be ready for training camp due to some shoulder surgery, which, from what was reported, that precipitated him slipping a little bit below what projections were. But I think he's a mid first round talent at least. I predicted as far back as November that I thought Jahad Campbell was the best draft prospect Alabama had. I thought he would go in front of Booker, shoulder surgery notwithstanding. Obviously, at the time, I wouldn't have known that, but he's a big pick for the Eagles. I think he's a fit for the Eagles. I think they're going to like him there. I really think he landed in a good spot. And so did Tyler Booker, who, of course, went number 12 overall to the Dallas Cowboys. Later in the draft, yeah, I would have thought Milroe would have been gone a little sooner than 92. Can't say I'm shocked that he went where he went. But my guess on him would have been late second round, early third round, rather than late third. If you'd have told me before the draft that Robbie Utes would get picked and CJ Dupree would not. I probably would have raised my eyebrow at that a little bit, although I'm not surprised Utes got drafted as good a blocker as he is. Seahawks have labeled him a fullback, by the way,
saw that.
Travis.
Saw that. So. I think there's still positional versatility, though, with Utes. So, you know, he certainly can play fullback. I think he's a better athlete. I think he probably tested better, combined better, maybe than people thought. He's sturdier than CJ Dupree. So unless you really see Dupree as an absolute threat in the passing game, I still thought Dupree would get drafted. I guess that's the surprise for me, the fact that he went unpicked altogether.
Yeah, I thought he would go. I saw him and Utes both as day three guys. Maybe with Dupree going in front a little bit. Dupree's not a great receiving threat, particularly at the pro level. More of a receiving threat than Utes, obviously, but it's not like he stretches the field, right? CJ Dupree is not the kind of guy who's going to keep safeties on their heels at the NFL level. But like Utes, he's a solid blocker. He's put together like a wide tight end, and there's still room for those in the NFL, even though the flex tight end is obviously more popular. They're still employing that Y guy in the Sunday league, Travis.
They are. They absolutely are. And so, you know, as we kind of run down the list again, and we use the Tuscaloosa News here as our visual aid, you know, kind of hooking up your guys there.
Yeah.
And the T News, Tyler Booker, first round, number 12 overall to the Dallas Cowboys. Zach Martin, obviously a longtime stalwart on the interior of that offensive line for the Cowboys, no longer around. So that made a lot of sense. Any Alabama pick or just SEC pick at this point, Alabama, Georgia by the Philadelphia Eagles makes a lot of sense. But I think that Kobe Dean's coming off a pretty significant injury too, isn't he? The former Georgia standout at the linebacker position.
I believe
Boy, Zach Bond last year was an absolutely tremendous acquisition by the Eagles. Turned out to be an all-pro at the one linebacker spot. So Jihad gives you a lot of those NFL attributes that you're looking for. Certainly sideline to sideline and coverage, you know, all those things. He's going to stand out. Back to Jalen a little bit, because I know you wrote about this at the Tuscaloosa News. You didn't necessarily feel like that was a great landing spot for him there late in the third.
Well, if you're a developmental pick, and Milroe clearly is at the quarterback position, then the ideal, at least what NFL executives and coaches both will tell you, scouts too, they like to run those guys up behind winning veterans, guys that have been through it, guys that know how to win, have been to the playoffs, have had success in the playoffs. That's ideal. And of course, it also takes a veteran who's willing to be a little bit of a tutor, and some are more like that than others, right? You know, Ben Roethlisberger, for instance, Travis, was never known as a guy who was inclined to teach the rookies much of anything, right?
Yeah,
so it takes the right guy on top of being a winning established quarterback. But Milroe didn't get that going to the Seattle Seahawks. He's going to run up in there behind Sam Darnold, who's in 7 years in the NFL, has had one good season, albeit last season. But Darnold's a guy who struggled mightily for his first 6 years in the league. Drew Locke, former second-round pick, I believe, of the Denver Broncos, used to play at Missouri. He's never really busted a grape in the NFL either. So, you know, it's a situation where there's not a Pro Bowl type for Milroe to learn from, but these guys – could tell Milroe what the lumps are too, right? Because they've been through it.
Yeah, and maybe early on they can package up Milroe, you know, with some different things because he is going to bring an entirely different skill set to that mix than even Sam Darnold as the starter. But the point is taken in terms of Sam Darnold 7 years into this thing still has a ton to prove, even with the good season he had a year ago. In Minnesota, and the fact that he is the unquestioned starter in Seattle. There's no question about that. There's not really a competition. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see for Jalen how that dynamic sort of works out. Hey, look, it could be It could be that Darnold sort of reverts back to what we saw prior to last season and just is a guy. He gets a couple of years to try to prove that he's more than that in Seattle. And that may time up perfectly for how long Jalen needs to get to where he needs to be at the next level. What about in the fourth round, Chase? Malachi Moore goes to the New York Jets. Q Robinson, I think some people may be a little surprised by that. The veteran edge defender for the Crimson Tide travels to Denver as the number 134 overall. When I saw Malachi Moore to the Jets, and then I thought about Aaron Glenn going from Detroit as the DC to New York as the Jets head coach, I thought, boy, Aaron Glenn probably, or is hoping at least, there's some Brian Branch, right, in Malachi Moore.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think Moore and Robinson are both guys who are going to be counted on at the special teams level too, in both of their destinations. Of course, Robinson with the Broncos, Moore with the Jets. Fourth round is a little bit early, though, to pick a guy who you think is just straight special teams help. It's really more the fifth round when most clubs are saying, okay, this guy, he can be in our kickoff team, kickoff right now, right?
Right.
Nevertheless, though, third day picks in general, they better make some noise on special teams if they're that kind of player, because fourth round picks get cut plenty. So yeah. That's important for both of them, I think. Robinson, a guy who offers a lot of length. He probably didn't have the production maybe that he would have wanted in his last year at Alabama, but I think there's some upside there, and I see some upside with Malachi too. I didn't see an issue with either one of those picks in terms of how early they were chosen. 130 overall for Malachi Moore, 134 overall for Robinson.
Yeah, I think in terms of their positions, it was a pretty good year for them to be in this draft because, you know, Q is more of an edge guy. Tons, just amazing number of really quality defensive line options, more so tackles, you know, maybe five tech defensive ends, which we'll talk about with Tim Smith coming up here in just a minute as a sixth round pick, but maybe not as much in terms of true edges in this draft when you talk about depth. And again, Malachi with that versatility, and you think about the connection there with Brian Branch, and you go back to really Brian Branch and Malachi Moore's freshman season. It's crazy to think Malachi's just now leaving Alabama, and he and Brian came in together, and Brian's going into his third year in the league. You know, I mean, that's just kind of college football, I guess, in 2025, but you're right. Both those guys, special teams options. I think Q and Malachi can be core special teams guys. Q was just a hell of a special teams player for Alabama. Yeah, I know he had the one unfortunate situation up at Tennessee, I guess, in 2024. You know, he wasn't quite sure about a loose ball situation, ended up going for a turnover. But other than that, he was tremendous. Had the elbow injury against LSU this past season.
Right.
Curtailed that last campaign for him, but I think he did enough, or at least was able to show enough, Chase, in those first 8-9 games or so, that probably helped him a good bit with NFL personnel people. And again, the depth of this draft at their respective positions.
Super character guy too. You know, Q Robinson aced the interview process.
Oh yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that. So, the Broncos picking up, no doubt, a good locker room guy there as well. Tim Smith, you mentioned, the final Alabama player selected, goes 190th overall, sixth round to the Indianapolis Colts. He rotated on Alabama's defensive line for a while, Trap, 3 years at least, right? I mean, he'd been playing a while. He logged a lot of action.
Yeah, it seemed like he came in with Bob Baumhauer. You know, he was around so long. But, no, Tim Smith, a solid player. We talked about this maybe like with Q Robinson just the other way. Maybe Q benefited a little bit in terms of it not being a heavy edge year in this NFL draft. But not the case for Tim. He may have gotten pushed down a round or two because of this sort of generational depth that we had at his position in 2025.
rounding up other undrafted free agents. Travis, of course, we mentioned C.J. Dupree off to the New England Patriots. Nealon Hibbett, the Alabama long snapper, signed post-draft by the Miami Dolphins. And finally, James Burnup, the outstanding Alabama punter. New Orleans Saints pick him up. James Burnup is a guy who's improved so much, Travis, over the course of his career at Alabama. I thought he was average at best in his first year as a starter, but he just got better and better. And boy, he really, I thought he was as good as anybody on Alabama's schedule by the time he was done.
Yeah, and just one of those guys who's still pretty new to American football as a punter. So I think when you think about Burnup, his best punting is still in front of him. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, will he be consistent enough as soon as this season coming up to make that roster? We'll see. Now, with guys like Hibbett, as you know, as a long snapper going to Miami, and also with Burnup as a punter, sometimes it comes down to where you can save some money too, mm-hmm. because you get these 10, 12 year snappers, or same thing with punters. And you look at the money that you can save on going with a rookie at maybe snapper or punter. Usually don't mess around much with your kickers, because too many games are really, really decided, it seems like, by kickers. But, you know, if a guy like Nealon Hibbett is comparable to a veteran of 10 or 12 years, this is kind of the case with Carson Tinker years ago when he made the Jacksonville Jaguars coming out of Alabama. I think the Jags had like a 12th year vet snapping, and it was pretty much a dead heat. They went with the rookie and, you know, saved some cash that way. So, I think Burnup consistency is still the thing with him. I think even this past year, and you're right, I think he definitely improved year by year, but there were still some times where you thought, yeah, I thought he'd be a little more consistent at this point, but I think he still got his best right there out in front of him.
Graham Nicholson, you think gets a camp invite somewhere at some point or not?
I think with Nicholson, the concern is more about Chase. So many of these guys, you see it every Sunday. I mean, they're making from 60 in the second quarter. Remember back in the day, coaches didn't run guys out there for 60 yarders with like 9:37 left in the first quarter.
Right.
They do that now. It used to be a desperation situation.
Right.
When you would see kickers, you know, out there that at that point trying these insanely long field goals. I don't know if he can do that, you know, but look, I kind of wondered the same thing a little bit about Will Riker, not as much as I do with Nicholson though. Because with Will, it was, well, is Will going to be able to go back to 60, maybe even 60 plus, and almost routinely get it there and make those kicks? I definitely wonder that more, though, with Nicholson.
That's fair. They like trotting him out there for the high 50s and 60-yarders.
Like it's
nothing. One of those domes, too. When it's a dome, you don't got that wind to worry about. They really like running him out there for that.
That's what I like about Will being in Minnesota, is that at least that's controlled. At least Detroit is controlled. Now, not controlled so much in Chicago yet, right there on Lake Michigan, especially in December, in that division, or certainly Green Bay. But about half of that division, he even in that division, he can count on kicking inside.
7 picks overall, Travis. Like you said, some folks felt like that's light. It is light for Alabama's standard over the years. I thought day 2 was, you know, and recruiting slid a little bit for Nick Saban over his last couple of years. You know, the 3 years maybe even. You've got Alabama's run in the NFL draft. You can't say it slipped, certainly, when there's 2 first rounders. Alabama only had 2 first rounders as recently as 2022.
Right.
But I went back and did a little math, did a little research on this, Travis. I think day two, which is of course rounds 2 and 3, the Friday night event, that's where you got to scratch your head a little bit when there's only one guy, right? Yeah. Jalen Milroe was the only player to get picked from Alabama on day two. You're talking about picks 33 through maybe 105, I guess, if you count the compensatory picks, maybe roughly in that neighborhood. Right. And here's what I came up with, Travis. Day two picks for Alabama, 2024, three of them. Mm-hmm. 2023, there were five of them.
Right.
2022, there were four of them. They had five in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Says something about, I guess, the depth of prospects a little bit when it's light on Friday, right?
Yeah, it does. And it also says something about the transfer portal, because some of your guys got mm-hmm. picked, like Trey Amos. Trey Amos is a perfect example. He's a day two pick, right?
Yep.
And he got picked from Ole Miss. So Ole Miss, I think, had eight draft picks. Well, Ole Miss is on the other side of that sort of portal thing. They're taking in all the guys.
Right.
So if they end up being draftable guys, well, they're Ole Miss picks, you know, Trey Harris, Trey Amos, you know, those kind of guys that they had.
Amos came to Walter Alabama Nolan. From the border. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true too. Walter Nolan, you know, I mean, these guys are all transfers. So you got to take that into, it's not apples for apples, you know, like it was kind of 7 years ago, six years ago. It's entirely different deal. And it feels more and more like it's going to depend on which side of the transfer portal door you fall on. I mean, think about Caleb Downs for next year. You know, I'd like to know how many guys that left Alabama went in this, got drafted from the schools they transferred to.
Right.
You know what I mean? That would be kind of interesting to see as well.
Amos definitely comes to mind. It caught my ear when he got selected. He would have been a help to that Alabama secondary this past
season. Did Trayshawn Holden get drafted?
He got signed. I don't know if he got picked or if he was a UFA, but I know he got signed. I think I saw somewhere where he ended up.
Corey Brooks was a UDFA, the former Alabama wide receiver.
No question about it. The Talking Tide podcast coming at you at the Ryer on YouTube channel. Be sure to give it a like. Be sure to give it a subscribe. Travis has always got some super content going up at Ryer on YouTube. And, of course, the Talking Tide podcast you can catch right there. Intermittently at this time of year, at this point on the calendar, Travis, we're kind of in and out with a little less consistency. But glad to wrap up this NFL draft with you. What about that 2026 NFL draft, Travis? Yeah. Let's kick that around for a minute. Maybe a couple of Alabama guys that could hear their names called in 12 months.
Does the streak go to 18 years in a row with a first round pick? You know, I saw a way too early mock, I think today, and it had Caden Proctor top 10.
Did it really?
He hadn't been top 10 to this point. I think that's very safe to say, but he certainly has the attributes you look for. And I've said this since the end of last season, and one of the reasons why it was kind of disappointing, and this is without knowing exactly what they're able to do with him. They're probably able to still do a good bit with him in sports science and strength and conditioning. But as I've said for about 5 months now, he really needs a really, really good run through an off-season program. And that has to do with nutrition. That has to do with conditioning, his body, everything. If that happens, I can see him being a first-round pick as much as anything because of the position he plays. I mean, the immense value, right, Chase, at that spot. You know, but then you get beyond that. I think a question I like to ask, too, is, what position does Alabama need to have a first rounder or two come from if it's going to have the kind of year in 2025 that it wants to have? I would say tackle certainly would be one of those with Caden Proctor, but maybe another area or two of this team where, is it the defensive line? You know, is it a guy like James Smith emerging as a third year guy on that defensive front? Is it LT Overton? Is it Quay Rousseau? Those kind of guys. What about it, Chase?
You know, back to Proctor for a minute. He did not look like a first round pick to me last year. I think you would agree with that. Yeah. He was significantly improved from the year he posted in 2023. Made a big jump from 23 to 24. He needs another jump, right? And the jump can come in a couple different – you know, he's got to be better overall in terms of both run blocking and pass pro, I think, if he's going to be a first-round pick. He needs to get closer to his ceiling. And he look, his ceiling is high. But he's not touching it yet, in my opinion. Have a healthy year, obviously. And you know, to me, if he can put it all together for Alabama, have a healthy run, kind of go wider wire as a left tackle, probably shed a few pounds. I think he'd be a better football player, especially in the Grubb offense. Bro. If he could lighten up a little bit like Tyler Booker did, by the way. Remember, Tyler Booker dropped 20 pounds, 22 pounds, whatever it was, last season because he knew what the demands were going to be and it paid off for him. So, you know, I don't see Proctor as a slam dunk first round pick the way I did an Evan Neal, the way I did a Jonah Williams, et cetera, Cam Robinson. What have you? But the ceiling is there if he can reach it. Beyond that, defensively, you mentioned James Smith. He's a real breakout candidate who I think has a chance to be the next truly dominant interior defensive lineman for Alabama on the interior. But he's a bit of a wild card too, right? Because we just haven't seen enough of him just yet. How does Deontay Lawson come off the knee injury? That's something to watch.
The injury plus I worry about positional value with him. I mean, for me right now, Deontay Lawson is kind of like a Chris Paul coming out of Ole Miss this year. Chris Paul was kind of a third, fourth round guy and had a hell of a year. In 2024. Right now, I feel like with Deontay Lawson, Jefferson, those kind of guys, that's kind of their ceiling. I still think if Overton can actually improve on finishing this year, he could have the kind of numbers that make him really hard not to take in the first round at his position.
Production, and of course, scouts will tell you it's not about stats, and it's not. They don't draft on stats, but – at the same time, if you're LT Overton, you need the production. You need the product. You've got to have the production to get their attention. So from that standpoint, at least a couple of stats matter. Like you said, he needs to finish better. If LT Overton is double digit sacks next year, he's gonna turn a lot of heads at the NFL level. What about Keon Sabb? I'm a big Keon Sabb guy.
I like
Travis.
Keon Sabb.
I think when he returns in 2025 completely healthy, he's got a chance to make some noise for this NFL draft as well. Now,
I love the way Keon Sabb plays at the safety position, but I don't know if his eyes are always great. You know, I think he's a guy that you, because of how he plays, and if you evaluate him as more of a box guy at the safety position, I can see that. I just don't know if many box guys are going in the first round, especially if they're not playing star and money to go along with playing that box safety position. But I love him as a player. I mean, I think he's great for what Alabama needs him to be.
Yeah, no doubt. If you're a safety who clubs don't see as having versatility to play that nickel spot, that I'm not going to say that's like being a running back, but that's a little devalued if you don't offer that flexibility to move to the nickel spot at the safety position. Travis.
What about Damani Jackson? Did he get there? I don't have him doing it right now.
Yeah,
as a first round guy, but the value of the position, man.
It's a premium position.
But right now, I don't see him as a first round corner next year. I
don't either.
Solid player, Josh Jobe, like maybe, you know.
I want to see Jackson tackle better. I want to see him deal with the run better. And look, that's probably more a concern if you're Kane Womack than it is if you're an NFL evaluator.
And is it fair to ask the question, these guys don't play for Nick Saban? How much does that impact?
Right.
DBs especially, corners especially, now in this new regime. You can say it doesn't. You can say, oh, the scouts don't care. Come on.
I think you can say
tell
it
me,
does.
You're going to tell me some of these guys that played for Saban, some of them that even got a shot to play in the NFL, yeah, I think, was because of Nick Saban. But some of them got drafted mid-rounds that were like, wow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and turned out well. I mean, not all of them, right? You had a bust here and there. D. Miller
guys
didn't
like
work
Anthony
out.
Everett. I mean, played a long time. Anthony Everett. Played a long time in the NFL.
Levi Wallace.
Levi Wallace, still banging around, I think.
Unbelievable.
Tony Brown, still banging around.
Is Kareem Jackson still banging around? Or is he done?
He might be. I mean, the thing about Kareem that was great was that he did have that sort of versatility, made that move to safety and extended his career by about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
You know,
no doubt about it. Eddie Jackson had a nice NFL career. I think he's called it a career now. But
best
he did
move
well.
He made was corner to safety while he was at Alabama.
No question. No question. Yeah. Big special teams guy too. Speaking of that.
Return kicks.
But
yeah, I mean, it's just come so far though from 2008, man, when we went to that pro day after Saban's first year, and you could have put maybe all the NFL top brass personnel people in a telephone booth that day. I mean, there were scouts out there. But I mean, Alabama didn't even have people talking about, well, they only had 7 drafted. They had 0 drafted in 2008.
It was wild. There's no doubt about it.
It was like a damn UFL combine.
Yeah. That was, of course, before they had upgraded the football facility. And so when the garage doors got thrown open, it was just straight out to the practice field. It was a lot of daylight and not many shadows in that indoor.
Hank Crisp indoor facility. I think the tennis courts were gone by then, though. Remember the tennis courts in the Hank Crisp? That was wild.
Yeah, no doubt. They've put a lot of money into it over the years. I want to say it was 2013.
Nick got rid of those tennis courts, all right? Yeah. What in the world, yeah, when he saw those tennis courts in the damn indoor facility?
Yes, Travis, I guess that just about wraps us up here. Yeah. Talking NFL draft, spring portal is closed. Alabama didn't lose any scholarship guys to the portal. In that spring term. So that means all 3 of the quarterbacks are coming back. Did pick up a couple of tight ends though, which I guess we should not be surprised about.
No, they have quelled your anxiety that you've had for several weeks now, and understandably so. I mean, you talked about it extensively about the tight end position, which, you know, part of me thinks, tight end's kind of like running back too, right? Especially in an offense that actually tries to employ them, because you'll go into August like, damn, we got 5 running backs. What are 6 running backs? What are we going to scholarship backs? What are we going to do with all these guys? By mid-October, you got like 2.5,
right?
You know, injuries and everything else. So you take that into account, but you wonder also how much of this is based on evaluation of guys that they do have and the need they feel like to go ahead and add to that mix. And, that as we talked about, you expect to start with Josh Cuevas, but again, just one of those positions that you don't talk about a ton, but you need a lot of those guys usually.
I guess
we will see some 12 personnel this season, right?
No question about that. That's from what I could tell, Grubb's big on that. But they picked up a couple of low profile tight ends out of the portal in December.
They did. I know.
So in January. So, you know, from that, if you're one of those two guys, that can't bode well. If they,
that's what I'm saying.
Pick up a couple more in the spring, right?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, what is it saying about maybe some evals that they've made here of late? And it's going to be interesting to see how that sort of plays out, because as we've said, I mean, with Horton, Williams, and Bernard as presumably your three wide receiver set, primary three wide receiver set. If you do go a good bit of 12, one of those guys is probably going to be on the field. Right. So how do they balance all that? I mean, Ryan Grubb's done a great job with it, so we know he's got that pretty well under command, I feel.
Well, if they need to block, I think it'd be Horton off the field for a tight end. We can get into that another day.
Just trying to get those guys to be willing blockers, you know.
No question about it. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. For Travis Ryer, I'm Chase Goodbread, the sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, and we will talk to you, I guess, at some point later in the summer. Travis, you and I have got a couple of tentative plans to have some fun with the podcast. I don't know. We don't give out the details, or maybe we do.
Oh, no. I'll talk about it. We want to do we're such fans of the 30 for 30 Pony Excess, which documented the NCAA woes for Southern Methodist University football back in the 80s. We love that 30 for 30 so much. We're going to figure out how to do like a watch along just for that. I mean, it's not necessarily Alabama content, although I do recall Dave Rader making an appearance and maybe in that documentary when they just basically opened up the SMU campus to recruiters after they got the death penalty.
There's your time.
I recall seeing Dave Rader in the Perkins years, I guess, when he was an assistant in that documentary. So yeah, we're gonna have some fun. We're gonna have some fun here on the channel. You know,
we'll either tie it into Alabama somehow with Rader or somebody, or maybe for just one episode,
Craig James.
For just one episode, we call it Talking Ron Meyer.
Craig James. Craig James was, you know, a guy that
the Bear wanted.
His girlfriend was gonna be one of Bear's angels, as he says on the I still love that scene of my man, the late great Ron Meyer, on the James family phone in the kitchen, supposedly talking to the NCAA to clear up that there are no NCAA woes, you know, while the James family sits there. He's sitting there on the phone. Well, I'm sitting here with the family right now, you know, and all I can think is there's dial tone on the other end of that phone. And the James family thinks he's really probably talking to the NCAA. Well, I'm sitting here talking to him. It's just, you know.
If I was Craig James, I would have had a little sister or something go in the bedroom and pick up the line. You can do that with a landline. Yeah. You know, those landlines work that way.
Diddy, it's dial tone.
Love it. All right, that is going to do it for Talking Tide. Again, for Travis Ryer, I'm Chase Goodbread. We'll see you next time right here on Talking Tide.
Yeah, Tex. All right, see you soon.